Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 or international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com. If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit, toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com. Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. Everyone is afraid of pain. No one wants pain to rule over their life. And you don't want the negative side effects of aspirin, ibuprofen, or prescription drugs. They can lower immunity and cause dependency. Is there a safe alternative? I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson, and I prefer willow bark and meadowsweet herbs to control pain, fever, aches, and inflammation. God's herbs are good, and you won't be disappointed. Call Apothecary Herbs for pain or extra strength pain relief formula, toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International, 704-875-8010 or online, thepowerherbs.com.
1, 2, 3.
Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. Here at Herb Talk, it's about empowerment, so that's what we're going to do. Magic engineer Frank Magical Engineer Frankie's ready, and we got a great show. We are going to be talking about hospital hygiene here for a little bit. Yeah, as we move into the Thanksgiving holiday, want to remember what we're thankful for, and be safe out there when you're traveling and visiting relatives and friends. We got a great show. We got a quack report, but before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to righteous men and women in uniform. I'm hitting the knees and I'm seeking the Lord's face and I'm minding the time because it grows short. 1 John chapter 5 says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God." Yeah, make Jesus the Lord of your life today and every day. And have salvation through Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the way, and mind the time to grow short. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. All right, first up in the quacker, Australia's Queensland state rationing electricity with their smart meters. State of Queensland in Australia. According to the state government, smart meters record electricity consumption, typically in 5 or 30 minute intervals. The recorded data is then sent to the electricity companies using energy industry wireless communications to determine how much energy a certain household uses. So, you know, we've been told the same whole thing over here in the United States, that they're more efficient, they'll help save money and all this stuff. But the state government touted that the purpose of benefits for these smart meters includes accurate and up-to-date information on usage patterns through electricity retailers with their online platforms and mobile apps, faster service, better billing inquiries, and account transfers. But withholding of electricity through a smart meter could be linked to the green energy carbon footprint agenda, and also to punish those not in agreement with the government. Yeah, turn off your electricity. Now, you know, they don't even have to come to your house to do that. All right, moving along in the quack report. Some prescription drugs can form cancer-causing chemicals in your stomach. This is a report on some common ailments like heartburn and ulcers that can turn into cancer based on maybe what you're taking to treat it. Antacid brantidomide, also sold as the brand name Zantac, was recalled by the Food and Drug Administration in 2020 after several studies reported detecting high amounts of probable carcinogens when the drug is exposed to high humidity or high temperatures. So racetamide was prescription or over-the-counter drug. It was designed for peptic ulcer diseases, gastroesophageal reflux disease, and other types of digestive issues. And basically, it would bond to the histamine type 2 receptors on the surface of your gastric cells. And those are the cells responsible for secreting acids. And so, anyway, fallout, side effect, could get cancer. All right, last but not least in the quack report, what's your holiday wish out there? Well, 2 in 3 Americans just want to get a good night's sleep. Yeah, this is what Americans are saying this year for the holidays. 2 in 3 said a decent night's sleep would be the best. This is a new poll of 2,000 U.S. adults. 66% say they could be more jolly this year if they could just get better sleep. So 62% claim the winter holiday season is their busiest time of year, and the biggest contributions to lack of sleep during the holidays includes cooking, cleaning, preparing meals, shopping, financial stress, having family over. 7 in 10 will force themselves to stay up later in the evening in order to tackle tasks they couldn't finish during the day, including wrapping gifts and cooking and preparing meals. So over half the poll, 58%, find themselves waking up earlier in the mornings for the same reasons to get things done. So commissioned by the Mattress Firm people, conducted by one poll, the study found most sleepless nights of the holiday season are Christmas Eve by 43%, New Year's Eve, 38%, Christmas Day, 35%, Thanksgiving, 26%, and Black Friday, 17%. So get some sleep out there. You need some herbs to help you sleep. You know who to call, the folks at Apothecary Herbs. And that wraps the Quack Report.
That's all, folks.
Thank you, Frank. All righty. We are going to be talking about hospital hygiene. This is an interesting, some research here. This is November 22 research. It's out of the University of Bath in the UK. They were looking at interesting insights into the bacteria world and transmission thereof. Their study was done by the international team of scientists. They wanted to know how deadly bacteria gets transmitted. So the species of bacteria they were investigating was MRSA, M-R-S-A, which can be very deadly as it has become pretty drug resistant. And so we're going to take a look at what they found. Hospital-acquired infections isn't anything new, so MRSA and bacteria is well known to hang around your hospitals. However, this bacteria can hang around a multiple of locations. MRSA is found in livestock and in pets, but is rarely transmitted to humans that way. So MRSA is found, it's from the Klebsiella bacteria family, and we find this bacteria inside your human intestines, and it's pretty harmless while it's in the intestines, but if it gets outside the intestines and infects other organs or your blood system, it can spell disaster. So the species called Icobacilla pneumonia, also a variety of MRSA, also causes not only pneumonia, but meningitis, UTIs, or urinary tract infections, and blood infections. Now, most of these bacterial infections are transmitted from human to human. Close quarters, like hospitals and nursing homes, can be a MRSA hub, but it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be. And, you know, drugs are not so powerful against it anymore. Since MRSA has become drug resistant, it's even more difficult for the last resort antibiotics called carbapenem to kill it. So the UK is experiencing a MRSA health crisis as the infection rates are steadily increasing. Here's a quote from their report. They said the WHO has recognized MRSA bacteria as a critical priority healthcare associated pathogen. One of the lead professors in the Bath University study, Ed Thiel, he said, MRSA infections are becoming increasingly resistant to antibiotics. So, whereas you used to be able to treat most urinary tract infections easily, now it is more common that patients are getting infections that keep coming back and causing problems. MRSA pneumonia kills half the patients, end of quote. Yes, this is true. A lot of those UTIs are really pesky little things. I like to use the kidney bladder formula to get rid of that in a skinny minute. So try that. Powerherbs.com. So where do you suppose you find this MRSA? Well, the scientists tested a lot of areas for the bacteria. They collected over 6,548 samples, and they listed where they found a lot of these MRSA bugs. Hospitals, which was listed as a major problem area, nursing homes, livestock or on farms, water, wastewater, insects like houseflies, they tested those, patients, puddles, you name it, they were swabbing, right? They were swabbing. So the team analyzed the bacteria they found, and they had 15 species of MRSA, and half of the samples were MRSA pneumonia bacteria. They also found that there was little, if any, overlap in the MRSA found in hospitals and that found in the environment. The scientists found that MRSA pretty much is everywhere. Okay? Here's a quote from the report. We found it was present everywhere, but where we were surprised, that the strains found in hospitals were different to those found in the environment, indicating there's very little transfer between the two habitats and humans, which, you know, always catch this bacteria from other humans. So wouldn't be from your farm and stuff. So it's really interesting that if MRSA bacteria strains are in our environment, like in the soil and in the lakes we swim in, why are we not getting infected eating a salad or water skiing? This is a real stumper for the scientists. Well, hospital hygiene, you know, is a big key in this whole thing. Because I would guess the hygiene in hospitals and nursing homes is below standards and allows for the bacteria to be passed around. And it's no secret that hospitals are pretty slack when it comes to getting their staff to follow the protocols regarding hygiene. Now, when I checked into a hospital in the 1980s to give birth to my first child, guess what? The bathroom had this sticky green substance on the toilet, and it was on the toilet seat and on the floor. I pointed it out to the nurse, and she got a janitor to clean it up. They told me it was their cleaning solution I saw, and that was obviously, you know, kind of slapped around but not wiped up. Now, a short time later, I wound up working in a hospital as a CPT technician, and that place wasn't clean either. This is, according to Consumer Reports, one of the biggest threats to hospital patients isn't their disease or hospital-acquired disease, which infects 722,000 a year per the CDC, but it's the prescription drugs and the prescription errors. Other risks are hospital-acquired infections and surgical mistakes, drug side effects, and human errors. Reports indicate that these risks affect 1 in 4 hospital patients. Now, an elderly hospital patient is at a much higher risk, according to the Consumer Reports. If you're over 65 and you're at a higher risk of dying while you're at the hospital, with reports citing 180,000 hospital deaths each year. But now with the COVID thing, I'm sure those numbers are higher. But we got a bunch of dirty, sick hospitals, pretty much. I've read reports where they've gone around nationwide to inspect hospitals, and they're all pretty bad. According to the Archives of International Medicine, a 2010 and 11 study found that approximately 50,000 reported hospital deaths are due to a disease the patients acquired during their stay. This number is significantly lower than the report published by the U.S. Center for Disease Control Prevention, citing 75,000 deaths. So according to Dr. Louise Chang, hospital-acquired disease kills 3 times more Americans each year than HIV. What's really shocking is that modern medicine has estimates and not the real numbers, which are thought to be much higher. Doctors and scientists analyzed hospital data between 1998 and 2006. They involved over 69 million Americans admitted to hospitals in the United States, and they discovered that most of the hospital-acquired borne infections came from dirty hospital equipment, such as catheters and ventilators. And they also found the disease from these sources were a span of common bacterial pathogens like pneumonia and also new drug-resistant bacteria pathogens, MRSA. According to John Hopkins researcher Dr. Peter Provenos, he said, with strict hygiene procedures, with safety checklists from all hospital employees, their tests showed the hospital-induced infections would drop to 0. So you got a bunch of slack staff that don't want to follow the procedures. You got hospital equipment that's not cleaned thoroughly. You got bathroom toilets not even cleaned properly. Dr. Provena says these deaths are invisible. The public doesn't know. They are happening one at a time, silently, and patients think they are inevitable. But we know from our large patient study this is not the case. These people are dying, and it's preventable, say. So let's look at the type of silent killers we have here. These are infections patients will pick up at the hospital, bloodborne infections, respiratory infections, skin infections. So Dr. Provenus' study showed that hospitals are not doing enough to keep patients healthy and safe. And he suggests that people should investigate the hospital's infectious rating. He said if the hospital does not keep track or offer a rating, or a rating that may be 1 in 1,000, he said go somewhere else. He feels that patients should expect their hospital offer minimal risk, if any, because the disease patients acquire there are preventable, he says. The CDC says 1 in 25 patients will get a hospital-acquired infection. Dr. Provenus also recommends patients and family members question everything until they receive an adequate and truthful answer. How do you think that'll go now, Frank, this day and age? Here's what Dr. Provenus said. A healthcare system that doesn't address your concerns is a risky one. Oh, man. What would he say about it today, right? So here's a hospital checklist. I hope you don't have to go to the hospital, but, you know, you may find out you find yourself there due to a trauma situation. So if you got time to check out a hospital, you want to do your homework. There's a strategy to it, really. And you can take a lesson here and lower your risk. Here's the checklist. You want to get that hospital safety rating, including their infectious rate. You also want to check your hospital's ratings against nationwide hospitals. There's 3,000 major hospitals to see how it stacks up to them. Also, before your hospital admission, understand your healthcare policy and what is really covered and what is not. You want to pay real close attention to any federal law requirements that will impact your insurance. You want to be aware of the rules and doctors have to follow in order for your stay to fall within your insurance guidelines, because doctors don't usually pay attention to those details, and it could cost you a lot of money out of pocket. For example, under observation really is not an actual admission, and the patient pays for that stay. Your insurance doesn't pay for anything but admitted care. Also, you want to check the hospital rating online and on blogs where patients offer a lot of feedback. These days, you know, people are kind of free to give their opinion, a lot of, reviews, if you will, on restaurants and resorts, but also hospitals. Okay, so see if there's posts regarding the bedside manner of the hospital staff and how well the staff communicates with each other and their patients, and which hospital is clean and not too noisy. Oh, that's the other thing I had a real problem with was, you know, the hospitals are so noisy, and they let your visitors in at all times a day, it seems. I'm trying to sleep. Nurses coming in at 3 in the morning. Oh. Taking your blood pressure. You're trying to sleep. If there's time before you go to the hospital, hopefully you don't have to go, you might want to have a meeting with your doctor, write down what you discussed, your treatment plans, what your doctor wants to order for you. You get a list of drugs that he may be giving you. If you're going to have a blood transfusion, all these things are important. You want to find out the tests they want to run on you and how long the stay is going to be. You want to ask what could go wrong, as most procedures and tests have unforeseen circumstances. Most hospitals or doctors really don't volunteer this information unless you ask for this kind of thing. Now, it's a good idea to, you know, conclude your fact-finding session with a direct question to your doctor, such as, is there anything else I need to know about my treatments or hospital stay? Man, is that just an open-ended question? And if the doc doesn't fill in the blanks, uh-oh. So it may be also prudent if you bring a voice-activated recorder. And check to see if the drugs that are going to be used have any conflict with each other or any over-the-counter medicine or supplements you may be taking. You know what? I worked for neurologists, anesthesiologists, general practitioners, brain surgeons. Okay, I worked for them for what? They were the most insane people, I want to tell you. Oh, terrible. This is just my opinion now. But basically, I saw these doctors didn't really know so much about the drug interactions. They didn't bother to check the PDR, physician's desk reference. I'm not kidding you. A lot of them didn't want to check it. So you're going to be surprised, really you are, on how doctors and pharmacists really don't check into this much. Good ones do. You want to get, if you get generic names, you get them on your drugs as well. So you want to get both generic and name brand so you know what you're dealing with. This could significantly reduce the drug adverse events you could have if you double check this. And you want to double check for drug duplicates. A lot of times they'll put you on two different blood thinners. Why two? Or whatever the medicine is. Why two of them? Good question. You want to try to avoid being admitted during weekends or holidays because there's fewer staff on hand. Research suggests that patients receive reduced post-operative care during weekends. Now, depending on your procedure and your age, you want to check to see if there's an increased risk for stroke or heart attack and discuss that with your doctor because some procedures, like, let's say, knee replacement, offer a higher risk of getting blood clots. And this information is going to help you determine your risk assessment while in the hospital and for the next 10 years. Also, hospitals tend to charge what they want for services, especially private hospitals. So you want to check and make sure the cost of your treatment is within the usual customary fees that are charged by the healthcare providers. Now, if your hospital charges, like, say, $10,000 more for a procedure, the insurance company may not cover what they consider to be excessive costs. Also, you want to arrange for transportation and someone to assist you at home after being discharged. Now, that cost thing, I mean, that's huge. I mean, private hospitals, county hospitals can charge different things. I had an experience where in the 1990s, one hospital charged $5,000 for a rabies antibody injection. And that was the private hospital, but the county hospital charged $800 for the same thing. So you want to check. Okay. And most people really don't even consider preparing a living will or trust before you enter the hospital. But a living trust will alleviate the probate court involvement. Having documents listing your healthcare proxy should also be prepared and, you know, executed before you're admitted. So in the event you are, let's say, incapacitated or have complications like you're in a coma, that proxy can step in on your behalf and make medical decisions. And this will make sure you won't receive any unnecessary treatments or prolonged care that you don't need or want. So you want to plan ahead, maybe donate your own blood for the procedure so you don't have to risk yourself to a blood transfusion with infected blood. And this reduces your risk of bloodborne diseases through the transfusions. And you may also wish to be screened for infections like diseases like MRSA, pneumonia, staph, and other pathogen resistance to antibiotics before you go so that if you get it, you know where you got it. And this will help your hospital staff plan and hopefully make your stay more complete. We got to take a little break. I got more on this, though, on the other side, so we'll be right back.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Leaping tall buildings with a single bound? Faster than a locomotive? Whoa! Find the Superman in you! Listen to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
We're just going over our little hospital checklist, you know, just to make sure you're savvy out there. If you have to go, I hope you don't have to go to the hospital, but if you find yourself there and you have the time to investigate some things, do so. So when you're packing to prepare for your stay, you want to bring some personal items that help comfort you, but don't bring any valuables with you. Okay. Also, you want to check your paperwork once you've been admitted. If you do not want extraordinary measures, if you should experience, let's say, cardiac arrest, this should be on your patient chart and on your wristband as well. Check for any misspellings on your admission documents. And you want to have your surgeon sign his initials on your surgery site prior to going into surgery, and this helps to avoid surgical mistakes in the OR. Man, is that true? Remember those neurosurgeons I told you I worked for? Well, one day, the x-ray was upside down on the light board, and a cervical laminectomy became a lumbar laminectomy. You want to be alert for any unnecessary tests or consults that are ordered by medical staff, because sometimes these extra fees can sneak into the treatment. Dr. Andrew Saul, author of Hospitals and Health, states that surgery is a very overused option, and patients should research their alternatives. That's right. It can be, you know, not really necessary to have surgery. You just have to, you know, look into it. You want to also be looking into, you know, watch for the pain relief protocols, okay? Pain medications can be addictive, and too much can slow your recovery. Too little can prolong your stay with uncontrolled pain, so it's very important to get that right. And this is a situation where too little and too much pain medication can extend a hospital stay. And you want to ambulate as soon as you can. Increase your circulation, reduce your risk of blood clots, pneumonia, things like that. It also helps to prevent bed sores and other types of infections. So it pays to be proactive is the point. And, you know, we know there's disease at the hospital, and you don't want to pick up more. You don't want to, you know, take any with home with you that you didn't bring in there. Benjamin Franklin supposedly said, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. So the statement is very profound, and we should rely on, you know, our wits and our gut instincts in a lot of ways. You know, modern medicine is great for certain things, but not always. So should we rely on modern medicine all the time, or rarely? Should we rely on modern medicine daily? You want to think about these things. What we really should rely on daily is organic foods, spices, and herbs, right? Because this is the original medicine. So herbs are not the alternative medicine. It is the original medicine from our Creator. So if you want to learn how you can utilize medicinal herbs for health and vitality, call Apothecary Herbs. Yep, you're going to discover how powerful whole food herbal nutrition is. It is a different world when you compare whole food medicinal supplements to, let's say, isolated ones. It's different. And education is a plus. So the folks at Apothecary Herbs, you know, pride themselves on informing people as much as they can, so they can make, you know, their wellness decisions that they need to make. Their phone number, if you want to give them a call at Apothecary Herbs, is 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. Also, international, 828-469-5972, 828-469-5972. They're having a Thanksgiving Day sale. Really, it's the Thanksgiving Day, Black Friday, Cyber Monday rolled into one sale. It's 30% off, orders of $65 or more. You want to use coupon code THANKS22. That's on your order form over the phone, or if you're shopping online at thepowerherbs.com. You want to hurry, because this sale ends on the 28th, 11/28, and restrictions apply. So order early for best selection, because, you know, you get a run on something, you can run out of stuff, and then you have to wait. So thepowerherbs.com, check them out, and happy Thanksgiving out there. All right, so we're going to shift gears, and we're going to talk a little bit about bowel inflammatory issues, because there's a lot of people suffering from colitis, irritable bowel syndrome, stuff like that. If you don't know what irritable bowel syndrome, you kind of flip-flop back and forth between diarrhea and constipation. And it is fixable. You know, if you want to fix it, I mean, if you don't want to fix it, if you just want to treat the symptoms and like giving your symptoms a big old lollipop, well, then that would be healthcare, modern healthcare. But I like to get at the cause of stuff. It's usually an imbalance, and a lot of times it could be our diet. Healthcare realm, if you have ulcerative colitis or inflammatory bowel complications, really we're saying here that it's usually poor food choices and prescription meds that destroy that friendly flora in the digestive tract and give you problems. You know, when I was in college, I was dating this guy, and he was sucking on the Mylanta bottle, you know, like it was a bottle of water. And I was like, what's with the Mylanta? And he had, you know, digestive problems. He had, you know, spasms of the colon and all kinds of things. I'm like, why? You know, I wasn't an herbalist then at all, you know, but I was just like, well, I found out why. The canteen, which was the place all the college kids ate, you know, they had a lot of fried food there. Well, it was the South, so they had, you know, biscuits and gravy and all that stuff. Then, you know, he took me to his parents' house once for a meal, and that's the same stuff. It was like the canteen all over the place. And I was just like, you know, if you just don't eat the fried stuff and the heavy gravies, you won't need the Mylanta. So he tried it. He changed his diet. And sure enough, he didn't have to buy it anymore. He didn't have those problems. But his entire family, his aunt, his cousins, his mother especially, all had digestive ill problems. It was all how they were eating. They didn't connect those dots. A lot of times you're allergic to your diet and you just don't know it. A lot of people don't want to change their diet habits, their eating habits. They don't want to do that. They rather just pop pills. But, you know, that's you're deceiving your own self when you do that. You know, you're going to succumb to your digestive problems in the end if you don't make some serious changes. But we've got, millions of people, ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease, you know, and they wind up, you know, taking out parts of your digestive tract, your colon. That's avoidable. So avoidable. Ulcerative colitis has ballooned into a tragic condition of 1.4 million Americans. The condition is also called Crohn's disease. It's an inflammatory bowel disease. It affects the entire bowel, whereas ulcerative colitis, that affects the large intestine. So you got Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis. And according to the health authorities, inflamed bowel conditions have increased 74% since the 1990s. Well, yeah, have you seen where people are eating? They're eating in fast food places. So medicine reports that there are 57,000 people that go to the hospital each year with all these conditions, anywhere from the ages of 15 to 30 even. So your college students, like I was saying, they're having inflammatory bowel disease. I mean, they should be at, the top end, the beginning of their life. They're supposed to be the strongest, the most vital. And here they are. They're holding their gut and bending over and going, oh. So now the statistics are showing that males are slightly more prone to inflammatory bowel disease than females are. And another statistic shows that patients with these conditions are becoming younger and younger. I believe it. Canadians seem to have a real epidemic on their hands. Highest rates of digestive malfunction disease, you can imagine. Canadians are concerned about it. Diet-related conditions, obviously. I just shake my head because a lot of it's common sense, right? If something's not working for you, make a change. Don't keep doing it. So Crohn's disease. Medicine says this inflammatory condition can't be cured, pretty much. So Crohn's is defined by medicine to be a form of immune system that's attacking the healthy flora of the digestive tract. And without your flora, inflammation occurs and the walls of the bowel thicken. Medicine is really not sure why this is occurring. Well, I'm thinking of a few things. If it's not diet-related, it's medicine-related or vaccine-related. So could be a prescription drug medication, which is negatively influence your immune system and your digestive tract. So you want to do your homework on all your medicines and look at what your side effects are. I was just talking to a lady the other month, and her mother had dementia, and I said, check her meds. It's probably a drug-induced dementia. And sure enough, that's what it was. 2 weeks later, she was back to her old self once she got off that med. So medicine also blames Crohn's disease on the environment, the high stress, developed countries. So Crohn's, they say, involves the small and large intestine and includes your symptoms of abdomen pain, diarrhea, weight loss. However, the condition starts in the stomach and the small intestine and then moves and encompasses the entire digestive system, and they call it gastroduodenal Crohn's disease. The patients have problems with their appetite, their weight loss, the nausea, the vomiting, the severe abdominal pain and cramping. And when the digestive the disease largely affects the large intestine, then you get those symptoms, but in acute form. You get night sweats, you get rectal bleeding, you get joint pain, you get skin lesions. It's a mess. And if the patient is female, it also will disrupt menstruational cycles, your reproductive system. If children get the condition, they have delayed development. Now, Crohn's can produce ulcers to form on the intestinal wall, which is like an acne. And these are toxins that can't really leave the body fast enough and produce ulcers or fistulas, okay? So when they do those little bowel scopes, you know, to see inside the bowel, they won't see those fistulas. They're popping up on the other side of the colon wall. All they see is a little black speck on the colon on the inside, but that's the pinhole. And if you go in through the pinhole, it's a pustule, and it protrudes to the outside of the colon. So these colonoscopies can't even pick that up. So these are toxins that can't leave. You get fistulas. Colon cancer can also, come down the pike. MRIs, CT scans, a lot of probing, a lot of surgeries. 30 to 60% of the people with these conditions are going to have surgeries if they don't get smart about it. $60,000, $20,000 to $60,000 a year on these treatments for inflammatory bowel conditions like this. Expensive and painful. And I know people are looking for a cure, but when medicine shrugs their shoulders and says we don't know what causes it, or they'll say it's genetic, or these are their fallback answers. It's genetic or it's an immune system disorder. So according to the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation, your inflammatory bowel disease started to materialize around the Civil War. Now, Civil War was in 1861 to 1865, and there was a spike in sugar consumption that started on the rise in the 1700s, but it took off in the mid-1800s. So the sugar and the stress element in the intestines, that fits, actually, this timeline. Now, Crohn's and colitis conditions are not official medical conditions. They weren't official medical conditions until 1875, and they didn't get official medical names until 1932. So antibiotics were being used as early as 1911, so penicillin with mass distribution by 1932. So the symptoms are colitis and acute diarrhea and rectal bleeding, all this stuff, all these toxins, and a lot of these complications, making people sick, having a sick digestive system that probably all could have started with the sugar trade. Think about this. Here's when you have complications to colitis, you'll have red, itchy eyes and pain around the eyes, mouth sores, swollen, painful joints, skin lesions, rashes, bumps, sores, alterations, osteoporosis, kidney stones, liver conditions, hepatitis and cirrhosis, and blood clots. These are all complications to this. Now, they did come out with a new drug for this stuff. New medication, supposedly addressed the inflammation of the bowel, eased the symptoms. It was called Evitro. Evitro? I guess that's how you pronounce it. Anyway, so it was prescribed only for adults for ulcerative colitis when your conventional drug therapies didn't work. The drug is promoted as improving the lining of the large intestine that would swell and thicken with the condition. Patients are told their symptoms will improve and their disease will be in remission. Now, remember, remission is not a cure. It just means lessening of symptoms. And so documents on the drug warn that if you're taking it, if you've recently been vaccinated or have long-term infections, you don't want to take it. The drug is also not to be taken if you've got liver problems, tuberculosis, and if you're pregnant or breastfeeding. So here are the common side effects of Evitro. Induced cold symptoms, headache and fatigue, joint pain, back pain, extreme pain, nausea, fever, upper head infections like sinusitis and throat pain, cough, bronchitis, and rashing and itching. Serious side effects, severe allergic reactions, swelling of the lips, tongue, throat, or face, shortness of breath, trouble breathing and wheezing, dizziness, feverish, hot feeling, heart palpitations, infections producing fever, chills, muscle aches, cough, runny nose, sore throat, shortness of breath, red and painful skin, and sores. Wow. So, obviously the body don't like that stuff. Also, tiredness, pain during urination, liver problems, dark urine or yellowing of the skin and eyes, which means your liver's not happy, progressive multifocal leukemia encephalopathy, rare viral brain infection, and it's also very disabling, and death is usually the result. So people with inflammatory bowel disease are often given immune system suppressants, which make them weak. And the drug manufacturer states that patients with weak immune systems are more likely to develop these severe symptoms, especially rare brain infection, when they're taking the drug. So how does that help anybody? It doesn't. So according to the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation, Crohn's disease has a higher mortality rate over colitis. The death rate, they blame it on the cancer complication and other complications like heart disease and urinary tract disease. But your risk is going to be higher if you have a weak immune system and if your whole constitution's weaker and you're taking too many drugs and vaccinations. So we got historical data here. And the correlation to stress and sugar intake and the reduction of food nutrition since World War II, which has skyrocketed the number of cases, and they're saying they don't know how this is happening. Even, I think, Stevie Wonder could see what's happening. Hippocrates said, let your food be your medicine and your medicine be your food. He also said, if you are not your own doctor, you're a fool. Well, so if you have relatives who have suffered from inflammatory bowel diseases, it's most likely you're going to have it. And it's not so much genetics. It's because you live and eat like your relatives do. And they've already established in medicine, scientific research, that food changes your genes. If you change your diet from, you know, fast food, fried foods, you know, the stuff you shouldn't be eating, and you go to a clean, organic food, it's balanced, it's wholesome, it'll change your DNA in 6 days. That's how fast that works. So you have a lot of power with what you're putting in the body. Good or bad, what you're putting in. Okay? You can go for a better constitution, or you can go for a worse one, depending on what you're using. Personally, detoxing is what I would do if I had these problems, this inflammatory issue. I would pull those pharmaceutical residues out, heavy metals, radioactive particles, you know, all the stuff you don't want to hold on to. You know, get that colon nice and clean, put good healthy foods in there. I'd probably eat some fermented foods to get the floras built back up. So, you know, sauerkraut, kimchi, pickled beets, that kind of thing. You can certainly use probiotics if you would like. And I would just, you know, make sure the diet is good and clean and balanced. Not too many carbs. And really no sugars. They have to come off the sugars, to get those floras back and, get the system strong again. Digestive herbs are nice to have. I like to use, fennel for gas and bloating issues, marshmallow root and slippery elm to soothe the bowel and also to stop dysentery or, you know, diarrhea. I'll use lobelia as an antispasmodic if there's spasms of the colon. You know, just super infuse the nutrition. Get the toxins out. Put the nutrition in. The body heals itself. That's how God designed it. That's it. So, I mean, you got a lot of tools at your disposal. You just didn't know you had them. And you can do what the white coats can't, because you're not using toxic chemicals. You're using what God provided you. And you know the chemistry's perfect if God made it. Oh, yeah, it's perfect for the human body. So plant-based medicinals have a balance and a chemistry to them. This is why I don't like isolated nutrients, because certain minerals and vitamins need each other for uptake and absorption into the system. So isolated stuff, you've taken mega doses of it, but you don't need mega doses if it's in a whole food arrangement that God made. So again, science proved that. So I know people call me all the time, Frank. They call me all the time, and I'm like, well, I'm a whole food person. I'm not going to be taking, you know, isolated magnesium and this vitamin and that vitamin. I like it in its original packaging if I can get it, like instead of orange juice, an orange, instead of apple juice, an apple. Fiber's good. The pectin in an apple's great. Great for the bowel. Again, bowel's irritated. You need soothing. Pectin. So call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They have organ cleanses. They have whole food nutritional powders you can throw into a smoothie and super infuse nutrition in 60 seconds. They have digestive herbs. They have immune support herbs. They have metabolic support herbs. I mean, strengthen the metabolism is huge. Huge. So you have power. You might as well just take it back and keep it and be well again. That's it. It's the world's best kept secret. I kid you not. Go to thepowerherbs.com, get their free catalog, sign up for the free online newsletters that will empower you further. You have to have email to get the newsletters. And they're having a sale. So save 30% right now if your orders are $65 or more. Big, huge saving. I was just talking to a guy, and I said, well, if you get the 2 ounce as opposed to the 1 ounce, you get the sale price, and it's like you get twice as much formula for an extra $10. So they were like, what? Do the sale. You'll love it. I am out of time. Call them at 866-229-3663. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com. Hope you all have a blessed, healthy, and safe holiday, and we'll see you on the other side. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice, if you dare, from a licensed medical physician before using any drug or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Till next time, be well.